Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. I know you love it. Summer, it's a great season to be in Montana. It's maybe the best place to have the best season is Montana, Big Sky Country. But it's also considered, and it's kind of hard to swallow this, although we know, I mean, it's the 100 deadliest days on Montana roadways. Stark reminder about it, but time for a little extra caution. Residents, tourists, we're out and about many thousands of miles across Big Sky Country to travel and explore. I'm going to talk about that today. Sergeant John Metcalf is going to join us to discuss safety on those roadways, how you can be prepared. He's got a new partner, too, named Jim. We'll talk about that here. Tammy Ross will join us a bit later on, too. She's from the Montana Department of Transportation. And what summer programs through the DOT is going to help your community make it a happy and safe summer for all. Today on Voice, we're going to talk maybe a bit later on about, it was a pretty nasty weekend in Los Angeles. I hope you had a good one here. And again, thanking you for making us a part of your Montana Day. Let's just get into this. There's some statistics to throw out here. They should be disturbing in terms of, how alcohol is still an issue on Montana's roadways, how speeding can be an issue on Montana roadways, how, even seatbelt use on Montana roadways and other roadways, and the stats behind how seatbelts save lives, it's pretty all out there. We're going to talk about that here today, as I mentioned a bit later on, from the Department of Transportation. Tammy Ross is going to come alongside. They've got an Engage Montana program. That's just got a ton of programs. I think we'll have fun talking about. Let's welcome someone who spends more than his fair share of time on the roadways, and that is Sergeant John Metcalf from the Montana Highway Patrol. Sergeant Metcalf, how are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for coming alongside, and thank you for your service as well. Tell us a bit about yourself. I'm curious. I know you've got a new partner, I think, called Jim. And I'd love to talk about that here too in just a little bit. But what do you do?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. I've been with the Highway Patrol now for about 10 years. I started out in eastern Montana, out in Culbertson and Glendive. Those are parts of Montana. And then I transferred over to Billings, and now I'm a dog handler on our drug team.
Right. And I just saw, I think it was his Facebook. I just searched your name, and then you didn't get top billing. There was your new partner, Jim, got top billing in that little Facebook post.
He's a great dog. Yeah. He canine Jim. He's actually from Hungary, imported him. He's a little over 2 years old. He's about an 80-pound Dutch Shepherd, German Shepherd hybrid. He's a great dog, and all he wants to do is work.
Well, that's great, and the kind of work that he does. I mean, we'll talk about roadways here too, but this is how you keep roadways safe in a lot of ways too. Is talk about what Jim does.
Yeah, so Jim is a dual purpose dog. So Jim is trained on the odors of meth, cocaine, and heroin, and he also can find evidence if somebody like runs from the police and leaves it in a field. He can find that. He's also trained in patrol work, so potentially apprehending bad guys. And then if somebody does also run off from the police, he can track ground disturbance and put his nose to the ground and track us to somebody. So he does a lot.
Very, very amazing. Why don't you talk a little bit about how the presence of canine animals or canines have changed? I think in Montana, I don't know. You could go back. You've been here 10 years. The program's still relatively young, I think, in the state, and there's been some resources applied to it, but maybe not enough. Talk about what a canine can do for law enforcement and safety in Montana.
Yeah, canines are incredible tools. Yeah. So they have like 250 olfactory senses in their nose. So they can smell significantly better than we can. And then what's also really interesting about canines is they kind of smell differently. So if you come home and you walk in and your spouse has cooked like a lasagna or pizza for example, you kind of smell like, oh, that smells like a pepperoni pizza, or that smells like spaghetti. But to the dog actually smells individual odors, which I always think is really interesting. So the dogs are super helpful at locating narcotics. We work with the postal inspector. So the dog sniffing out drugs and packages, of course, cars. That's kind of the highway patrol's bread and butter, is people trafficking narcotics in cars. And then also, they're a great less lethal deterrence to criminals who, when they see the dog, they don't want to mess with the dog. You know, they may be inclined to fight a police officer, but most people, when they see the dog, they just want to give up. So it gives us a really valuable, less lethal alternative.
That's interesting stuff. Sergeant John Metcalf is with us here. His new sergeant is a 2-year-old German Shepherd named Jim. Sergeant Metcalf is the handler there. Now, the dog comes already trained, right? What is your, and I know we're off topic a little bit, but this is pretty cool. What is your role? How, what kind of partner are you for Jim and vice versa?
So, they come with a little bit of obedience, but most of the canine schools that the Highway Patrol goes to are between 6 and 8 weeks, and that's where they imprint the dog on specific drug odors. They work on obedience, so the dog's manners. So that's between 6 and 8 weeks.
Oh.
But I kind of drive. I hold the leash. And then I let Jimmy do the work. He's the nose of the operation, and I try to my best to be the brains of the operation.
That's pretty smart. What is Jimmy a normal dog? I mean, because we all grew up with dogs. A lot of us have,
yeah.
I should say. Does Jimmy have? Is he a normal dog in his day off?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
The police dogs now, especially the ones in Montana, they're very social animals, but they are just built and bred to work. So he just wants to work. He wants to run. He wants to work. So it is a lot of work outside of just holding the leash. They're just full of energy.
Have you ever retired a canine?
Yeah, I have. And then the Highway Patrol, our original batch of dogs is right happened, I think, right around 11 years ago. So the Highway Patrol has retired, man, probably 10 dogs now.
And when they retire, do they get normal homes then, or what is retirement like for?
Yeah, the Highway Patrol allows the handler to have the dog in retirement, so the dog gets to have a little bit of a vacation and hopefully eat some steak and not go to work every day, enjoy retirement.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine what kind of resource it is to have an animal like that that can actually sniff out cocaine or heroin and those topics. So are they pretty, Sergeant Metcalf, are they pretty accurate in that? And how do the courts uphold their work?
Yeah, so Montana's a little bit of an interesting state. So we probably have, in our state constitution, we have an explicit right to privacy. So in our state, we rely more heavily on dogs, and we need what's called particularized suspicion or consent before we can run a dog. But once a dog alerts and indicates that is generally probable cause that allows us to obtain a search warrant.
Understood. Well, I'm very thankful, and I know Montana has I think it's kind of thrown itself behind improving this canine program. It's 10 years old, right? Is that what you were saying?
The Highway Patrols, I think, is right around 11 or 12 years old now. But we do, it's come a long ways. You know, the Attorney General was very supportive when we had the marijuana become legalized. I know the AG's office was very supportive and allowed a bunch of departments and the Highway Patrol to get dogs that were not trained on marijuana.
Yeah.
So our program's come a long ways, and it's, even though it's newer in Montana, I think we have fantastic dogs compared to other dogs across the country. We really do have good dogs.
I'm glad to hear that, too. And again, thanks for your public service on this. Let's get to the 100 deadliest days. That's a rather stark title for you know, the travel. We think of summertime as, I just love it. I want to get out there. I just want to explode on Montana's roadways. But that's a stark reminder to me. Talk about how you guys employ that, or you know what that means to you, and how we should respond to that.
Sure. So, kind of just what it is, like you said, it's the time period between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and typically that's when we have the most highway fatalities compared to any other time of the year. You know, the Highway Patrol and our local partners try to be out there and get impaired drivers and make sure people are wearing seatbelts, investigating crashes, so we have data of why people are crashing. But I'm with you. I'm going fishing later today. Going to go down to the Bighorn. But me and my buddy, we're going to drive the speed limit. We're going to be driving sober, and we're going to be wearing our seatbelts.
And those things are common reminders too. How do we forget, or how often do we ignore, or I suppose in the case of driving impaired, choose to ignore?
Yeah, you know, it's if you're in your air conditioned car and you got the music bumping, and you know, it's I think sometimes it's easy, unfortunately, to let speed drift away from you. Mm-hmm. But we already have some of the fastest speed limits in the country, and it's a good reminder that 80 miles an hour, that's the speed limit, and that's the speed limit under ideal conditions, right? So if there's heavy traffic or construction, right, like especially if you've driven around Bozeman recently, there's a ton of construction going on. You know, we have bad weather, you are encouraged to drive at a speed appropriate for the weather, appropriate for the conditions. You know, when it comes to impaired driving, that's a huge factor on Montana roads, unfortunately, but it's more than just alcohol, right? Marijuana can impair people, illegal drugs. We get some of that. But driving sober is critical to arriving safe.
And that's a little difficult. You got to be trained in that to a certain degree, because Montana in the summertime, you know, there's a little pop a top going on. what do you guys do to, you know, remind people or encourage that discipline?
Absolutely. You know, we partner with DOT, and DOT puts up signs to encourage it. But I, you know, the Highway Patrol is big on visibility, that we're out there. And we have people who are trained in, or just about everybody in the Highway Patrol can detect DUIs. We have people who are even better at it. They're called drug recognition experts. And sometimes they meet us at the jail, and they can go over, you know, signs and symptoms that they're seeing in somebody that's possibly impaired on something other than just alcohol. Prescription medication is a great one, right? If it says don't drive, may cause drowsiness, you may not be able to safely operate a motor vehicle while you are taking your prescription medication. And just having a prescription doesn't mean that that's the ability to go drive your vehicle while you have that medication on board.
John Metcalf with us, Sergeant John Metcalf with the Montana Highway Patrol. Enjoy talking about his new partner, Jim, a 2-year-old German Shepherd that you get to, I don't know, your job is you get to, You have a dog that is a part of your daily routine. I think a lot of people would be jealous of that, John.
It's the best, you know. Like, you know, when he needs a break, I get to pull over and then I get to play fetch with my dog for a little bit. And during my shift, it's the best job.
Let's talk about some of those hard days when you come up upon an accident. And we're talking about the 100 deadliest days and trying to change that into some of the safest days on Montana roadways. But I kind of went into it looking at maybe statistics behind fatal crashes of single vehicles. That sort of surprises me a little bit. The role that fatigue plays. I mean, there are times, I admit, when I'm concerned about it. I'm fighting fatigue how quickly someone can drift off and drift onto the side of the road where anything can happen.
Yeah, you know, there's a certain point in fatigue where it actually mimics being a 0.08 or greater impaired wise.
Wow.
So Fatigue driving is super important. If you're tired, we have great rest areas. There's no shame in pulling over, getting rested, and then continuing your trip. It's the most important thing truly is getting to your destination.
Are we reminded of that? How many of these accidents are caused by fatigue? I know one is too many, and it's sad. What is the public's response to understanding that?
Yeah, I don't have that specific number in front of me, and it's not as great as, you know, the speed, the DUIs, the seatbelts, distracted driving. But I'm sure every year the Highway Patrol will investigate some crashes that are some fatal crashes and a lot of non-fatal crashes or serious injury crashes that are because somebody fell asleep and drove off the side of the road.
Yeah, it can happen so quickly. So just a special reminder about that for people too. And power nap. They got plenty of places to pull over.
You talked about it a little bit about reaction times and 80 miles an hour. So when you're driving at 80 miles an hour, you're covering almost 120 feet per second. It when you put it like that, you're covering a lot of ground really, really quick. And it takes about a second and a half when you're driving for you to see something, decide how you want to react. So that second and a half, you're covering over 120 feet, over 160 feet before you're actually starting to press the brake. And that's a lot of ground you're covering.
And the remarkable thing about that is, and maybe you have that figure in front of you, maybe not. I mean, but going at 75 miles an hour really increases that response time.
Absolutely. The faster you go, the less time you have to react. So the way you figure it out, I remember this from my crash investigation courses, is you multiply the miles per hour by 1.47, and that gets you your feet per second.
Gotcha.
So a little nerdy fact for you.
I like it. I wrote it down. I'll try to remember that because, you know, I'm always calculating that when I'm driving.
Following distance, you know, that's another important thing.
Tell us.
So in the way you measure it, the Department of Motor Vehicles, when you get your driver's license, right, they recommend at least 3 seconds of following. So that's, you know, a semi in front of you. It passes a delineator, and you should be able to count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003 before you pass the delineator. And the idea behind that is that gives you a little bit of time if that semi driver slams on their brakes or that semi driver swerves to avoid a dead deer in the road. It gives you enough time to think, hey, what's he doing? Okay, I'm gonna start braking. I'm gonna turn my car.
Well, I'm not gonna pull punches. That's one where I'm not following real well. I mean, I think today's cars and technology and you know their drivability, I think it sneaks up on me. I think it makes me overconfident sometimes.
Absolutely. It is really easy to unfortunately get kind of lost in the air conditioning and the quiet, you know, your music, a conversation. It's really easy to be distracted, and distracted driving is a significant factor, especially in younger drivers that want to text and drive or Snapchat and drive. That's all taking your eyes off the road, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like you say, at that speed too, I know high winds, we deal with high winds in Montana, and sometimes you have to slow down because that just keeps more weight on the ground. Otherwise it's easy to overdrive in high wind cases too.
Especially over by Livingston, you know, the Department of Transportation will periodically shut the interstate down because some of the winds we get in Montana will tip an empty semi-truck over.
Ah, I know it. And you can see that. You can see those vehicles kind of struggling with some of those winds, especially in that area. Montana Highway Patrol Sergeant John Metcalf is with us here as we Tammy Ross will join us a bit later on from the Montana Department of Transportation. We're talking about getting safer amongst these 100 deadliest days in Montana. You know, it's disturbing at times, the shocking images of what can happen in a vehicle accident, they're disturbing. But it's also a very stark reminder, again, just like the 100 deadliest days. talk about what you come up upon at times, especially maybe when it comes to the impact of seatbelt use.
Sure. So I can think of a crash when I first started. I was out in Sydney, and an intoxicated driver had pulled off the side of the road to go to the bathroom, and he turned on back onto the highway, but he turned into the wrong lane. And he hit this lady head on. She was not wearing a seatbelt at the time, and so she kind of hit the windshield. And initially she was conscious, but quickly she passed away because an artery was severed in her neck. And I'll never forget her family showed up when we were processing the scene, and they were like, "Oh, we're looking for our mom. She's not home yet." And it was heartbreaking to have to tell the son that that their mom had passed away from a DUI crash.
Thank you for that. I know that's a tough job, and somebody is out there doing that with compassion. It's hard to hear that. But we forget that, going 50 to 80 miles an hour, you've got to be real serious about that. So remind us, what are some of the ways, and you probably speak to people all the time, what are your top reminders for them?
Absolutely. It's driving a speed that's appropriate, right? So we talked a little bit about that when it came to the weather. Wearing the seatbelt, it's so important to wear the seatbelt so you don't get ejected during a rollover, so you don't hit the windshield. That is super, super important. And then also the not driving impaired, right? And we talked about it's not only alcohol, but marijuana is something that's an impairing substance. Other illegal drugs, right? Meth, cocaine, mushrooms, people who potentially are doing inhalants. Those things are all impairing. And then also distracted driving, right? Like not letting your kid go out there and be texting while they're driving 80 miles an hour.
Just saw that yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the road.
Yeah.
A young person obviously on their phone and driving all over the place.
Yeah. I'm sure as a Billings resident, you see all the motorcycles that drive kind of crazy around town.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got a minute left here too. What are some of the high traffic times when we should be at our highest on alert?
Sure. Rush hour, specifically, in the mornings, you get a lot of the traffic of people coming into Billings or people going out to Billings. So I'd say that's between 7 and 8:30. And then also, the returning rush hour traffic. So that's usually between 4:30 and 6:00. There's going to be a lot more cars on the road. If you're around one of our great national parks, there's going to be a ton of tourist traffic. So just driving defensive, being engaged, being sober, wearing your seatbelt. That's the secret recipe to getting to where you want to go alive.
Yeah, yep. I appreciate that. You give Jim a pat on the head for us, okay?
yes, sir. Yep. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, and thank you for the work you do out there too. And I hope you don't have any of those scenes to encounter this year.
Absolutely. We'll turn it to the 100 safest days. And then if I could just give a quick shout out to my niece Allie, she graduated preschool last week.
Oh, congratulations, Allie! Many happy, safe days on the road. Some of these statistics are gut punches. They ought to be. That's how we ought to treat them at times. Sometimes I don't like using them, but we need to be reminded. Montana, no other state has more alcohol-related traffic deaths per capita than our beautiful Big Sky country. 50th in the nation. 43% of traffic fatalities, the result of an alcohol-impaired driver. This goes back to 2021. And 804, I'm taking these statistics right off the engage-mt.org, Engage Montana website from the Department of Transportation. 814 people killed in crashes involving alcohol-impaired driving from 2012 to 2021. Tammy Ross is with us now, Transit Safety and Planning Bureau Chief, Rail Transit and Planning Division. That is as long a title, Tammy, as anybody has. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you today, Tom?
Good. Thank you for coming on with the Montana Department of Transportation. Statistics are a gut punch, but they're a stark reminder for us, aren't they?
They are. I mean, one of the ways that we help educate the public is really talk about the personal effect that happens when there are crashes and serious injuries, and the statistics help really get that across. For instance, we have the newest 2023 numbers that came out, and 44% of all traffic deaths in Montana were involved in alcohol-impaired driver. So the numbers are pretty sobering when you actually look at them.
And how, again, I guess I don't know if I really want to compare to other states, but at 44%, do we have a tremendously bigger problem than other states? Do we have to do more things to tackle this problem because of that?
I'd say we have to do more things to tackle the problem. I mean, we are really looking at how do we educate the traveling public on alcohol impaired or driving under the influence of any kind of drugs, and really looking at what do we need to do to get basically the point across that the best way to travel if in Montana is if you are going to go out and have some fun, get a sober ride home. Figure out what you're going to be doing instead of driving. Do you take a taxi? Do you call a friend? Do you stay where you are? But most importantly, just do not drink and drive. Do not drive under the influence.
Boy, and I think there have been a lot of businesses out there and events and people. I mean, that's starting to sink in. Maybe we take things for granted because it's summertime and, you know, we might be having an adult beverage, one or two, but they can catch up on us. But I'm seeing more and more consciousness about a safe and sober ride home. And I think part of that has to do with education, but also there are more resources out there available for sober ride homes.
Absolutely. I mean, Montana, especially in the larger cities like Billings, have Ubers and taxis, which are available. There's also free rides available in some cities. So if you are, you know, planning to go out and have some fun, you can actually plan ahead and get a sober ride home or to wherever your next destination is. And that's a really great resource that we're seeing more and more in Montana and that we support here at Montana Department of Transportation fully.
Yeah, you support. I mean, a lot of it's public, private organizations, but there's also public-private partnerships that encourage that. Let's go into Engage Montana. Tammy Ross is with us, Transit Safety and Planning Bureau Chief, Rail Transit and Planning Division with the DOT. And I looked at this. There's a ton of good resources for folks just to go to. So engage-mt.org, what is it? And tell us more about these programs.
Sure. So Engage Montana is part of the larger Vision Zero initiative in Montana, which is an actual very bold but crucial goal, zero traffic fatalities and serious injuries. So, for instance, in 2024, there were 203 fatalities on Montana roads. We know it's an ambitious goal, but one we all really need to work towards. And when we're looking at that, Engage Montana really is putting information out there and doing campaigning to help educate the traveling public on different initiatives, such as planning ahead for sober driving. Always buckle up, you know, every trip, every time, front seat, back seat, and really most importantly, making sure that your passengers are buckled up and children are in appropriate car seats or booster seats. That's one of the things that we see a lot in Montana, that our youth are not buckled the way they need to be. And so really ensuring that that's happening is crucial to their safety. Eliminating distractions, so put your phone away, set your GPS before you start driving, pull over safely if you need to make a call or a text. And remember, distracted driving contributes to about 8% of fatal crashes in our state, which doesn't seem a lot. However, the reason why the number seems so low is we do not have the ability to really define if a crash was caused by distracted driving right now. It's something we're working on. So 8% is a very low estimate of the crash numbers. So
yeah.
You know, being patient and share the road, Montana, we have a lot of travelers that are coming from out of state and out of country, and that includes motorcyclists. So be courteous to other drivers and always, always look for twice for motorcyclists, cyclists, and pedestrians. It's one of the most important things that we can do to help them have a safe ride and enjoy Montana as much as possible. you know, get enough rest. Your interview earlier, you were talking about drowsy driving. So make sure you're well rested before long trips. And one of the things that we really here at MDT and Engage Montana are working on is talking to your teens. So if you have teen drivers, having the open conversations about safe driving practices, the risks of distracted driving, impaired driving, and leading by example. We've had a lot of conversations with teens that their parents are telling them to put the phone away, and then while they're driving, the parents are driving, they're on the phone. So this is not a do as I say, not as I do thing. This is do as I do. So, and, you know, the conversation is more important than ever because our teen driving numbers for under the age of 21 are actually pretty high. And so those percentages, you know, are higher than we want them to be. And so really looking and talking to your teens about what the importance of driving is. So in Montana, the drivers under 20 involved in fatal crashes, that percentage is about 16%. Mm. And that's a large percentage for Montana for the amount of youth we have actually driving. So.
You know, we got a couple of questions for you, Tammy, from listeners here. And I'll probably just take this one. Kathy's listening in Canyon Ferry, but I'm going to throw it out there, Kathy. I get the question, and I appreciate it. When we talk about impaired driving, there are severe penalties. And Dave and Kalispell, stand by. But there are severe penalties for driving impaired. But we see, and this is Kathy's question, we see sometimes multiple offenders, get charged with this. And just looking to see how, you know, what's the dynamic behind that? How does law enforcement address this problem?
Absolutely. So we do see multiple offenders, and we do have some really great laws in Montana. But one of the things that we also have is we have some really great resources for people that are driving under the influence and are caught multiple times, and those are our DUI courts. What they really do is work on those people that multiple arrests in multiple instances of driving under the influence, and it's therapy, it's working with court officers, it's really getting to the root of the problem of why a person is doing this. And that's extremely important. It's not just the fines or the jail time that makes a difference. It's actually going through those systems that will make the largest impact on people that have habitual, driving under the influence tickets or crashes. And so we at Montana Department of Transportation fully support those with funding and are very impressed with the work that they do. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that we can do is really help educate drivers on the reasons behind people actually driving under the influence, what's causing them to do it, what is the culture that we are trying to overcome for that.
Yeah, very important too. I mean, we have had such a cavalier attitude about it in Montana for a long time. And for a number of years, though, I mean, we're talking decades, that has been changing. We'll take another call here. Tammy Ross is with us from the Montana Department of Transportation, and we're talking about the 100 deadliest days in Montana. Dave is listening in Kalispell and that big stick up there, KOFI. Good morning, Dave. You're on Voices here.
Good morning. I got a lot of questions and some information. Got some experience in this bad stuff. And anyway, it's like even this last week, I just read in the paper where a drunken driver killed someone right on the bridge outside Polson. And their prosecutor is basically plea dealing the thing where she doesn't see any time in jail whatsoever. She killed someone while she was drunk driving. There's a problem with our justice system. So, as we know, we're on the bottom of the list for being proactive for driving. So what we got to do is look at the top five states in the country. What are they doing that's right, that makes them? So what we got to do is see what they're doing and basically adopt that, I would say.
Nice, Dave. I appreciate that. Tammy, what are some of the best states in the country doing to prevent the situation we're trying to change in Montana?
Well, there's a factor of things that they're doing. One, of course, is law enforcement. You know, we here in Montana actually help fund different variations of law enforcement to go out and do watches on the road for people driving under the influence. So things like during Labor Day and 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day in Butte, we actually have more law enforcement out to help with that. Another one is education. Of course, I just talked about that, but there are states that, you know, educating the public on the laws and the reasons behind driving under the influence are extremely top priorities. Montana, we're definitely looking at that and making that is a top priority. And then it just depends on community efforts also. So there are lots and lots of different educational opportunities out there for youth and teens and young drivers to help them really understand the importance of why you would not drive under the influence of any kind of substance. And it really does start with our youth in helping change the culture that they are being influenced in, saying, you know, one drink is not going to cause a problem. Well, it might, you know, and if I drink alcohol and then afterwards I, you know, indulge in marijuana or anything, that's not going to have an effect on me. Yes, it is. And so really getting that education out there, that's the biggest thing that we can do. Having the laws and the law enforcement to put the laws in effect, but the education is probably the most important, and that's what you're going to see in those top five states.
Tammy Ross is with us here today. She's with the Montana Department of Transportation. Just a couple of minutes to finish up here on erasing the 100 deadliest days on Montana highways. And Dave and Kalispell, just one quick follow-up. Thanks for calling back, Dave. What do you have?
You bet. I just got to add that, yeah, I lost my wife and daughter from a drunk driver on the 4th of July 6 years ago. And it's an unbelievable thing to go through. And I just got to say, it was so, what was unbelievable is while I was burying my girls, the drunk driver got out of the hospital and he went back home to Minnesota. That just wasn't right.
Dave, I'm sorry for that. And I'm sorry you have to suffer through that. And but thank you for sharing that, right?
You bet. So everyone's got to be careful out there.
Yeah. Tammy, it's hard to respond to that, but that is why this is so important. Dave gives us that great reminder. He is not without two of the most precious people in his life right now because someone else made a wrong decision.
That's right. I mean, we talk about statistics every day, but statistics are actually people's wives and daughters and husbands and sons and you know, the people that you love and care about the most. So we really here at Montana Department of Transportation want to change the 100 deadliest days of summer to the 100 safest days of summer. And really by looking at the campaigning we're doing with Engage Montana, the commercials that we have, the PSAs that we have, and the education that we're trying, we're starting to see some kind of decreases in the amount of crashes and deadly and serious injuries on our roadways. You know, and there's a different combination of factors of why it's the 100 deadliest days between Memorial and Labor Day. One is increased travel, of course, but one of them is inexperienced drivers.
Tammy,
school's out.
We're out of time for now. I'm going to drive people, if I can say, to your website, okay? It's engage-mt.org for more information. Be safe. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.